I'm Chad Roberts, and I'm so glad you're joining me today on Awakened to Grace. Well, as most people know, we're in the midst of a crisis in our world today called COVID-19 or the coronavirus. And today we have a sermon entitled Alone with God. And this sermon was actually prayed over and prepared months in advance, months ago. And what a timely sermon it is, for so many people are quarantined, so many people are out of work or working from home, schools are closed, and what an opportunity we have to be alone with God. Well, today we're going to talk out of Joshua chapter 5. This is part one of a sermon entitled Alone with God in a series called Triumph. I hope that it speaks greatly into your life, especially in the unprecedented times with which we're living.
Well, I want to welcome all of our online audience today. As most everyone is aware, we are in very uncertain times, and most churches like us are being forced to go to a digital platform for right now because we are participating in what our government has asked us to do, and that is not gather in groups of large, if that's 250 or 100 or even 50 or even 10. They got it down to 10 now. And so we want to be respectful of what our government officials are asking us to do. I know that many people in our country right now are frightened. Not only is there the fear of this novel coronavirus, but there's the economic fear as well. And today, before we get into our lesson, before we share the scripture that we had planned to share on this Sunday morning, before we do that, I do want us to pray together. And I want you to know, those of you that are watching in your homes today, I want you to know how important it is to me and how special it is to me and our church that you have invited us into your home, whether you're watching on a phone or a tablet or a laptop or a television. We're so thankful that you've invited us today to worship the Lord along with us. And I want us to pray right now that the Lord is going to give tremendous help, not only to our country, but to our leaders, to those who are making very critical decisions right now, to those who are on the front lines, the doctors, the nurses, the medical people that are caring for those who have contracted this virus. I want us to pray for God to forgive our land, for God to forgive our sins and to heal our land. And so if you'll join me, let's pray together, and that we're going to see God really help our country and help our people right now, as well as the rest of the world. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this hour that we are living in, even though it is as uncertain as any of us have ever been in any time in our lifetimes. We've never been in a day that feels this uncertain. And while there are so many who are fearful because they don't know what's going to come of their jobs or their income or this novel coronavirus, God, what we do know is that you tell us in your word to not fear anything. What we do know is that you are the Prince of Peace. And you are able to give every person watching right now or listening to this sermon, you're able to fill them with a sense of peace. And Father, that's what I ask you for those who are questioning or are frightful or fearful in any way, that God, you would share with us your peace and remind us, Lord, that you are indeed sovereign. And that while this has taken the world by surprise, it has not surprised you at all. And you have the answers. And you know what you're doing. You know what you are allowing on the earth right now. And Lord, we look to you bring grace and to bring help, to bring great compassion upon humanity. All of those around the world who have contracted this virus, those who have lost loved ones due to it, those who are in economic difficulties, perhaps they've lost their job or their job has shut down even temporarily and they're feeling the pain of that. Father, no matter what it is, will you bring great help to us? But Lord, we do not ask for this without first asking for your forgiveness, without first repenting of our great sins in this nation. So God, I pray that you will begin to lead many Americans through your kindness to repentance. I pray, God, that you will help us to reevaluate our lives and reprioritize what has been and what is important to us. For far too many of us, our money, our jobs, our sense of security, our 401ks, our stocks and bonds, those are the things that have brought us peace. And could it be that in this hour, in this time, in this day, you are removing such things to cause us to once again call upon the name of the Lord? So, Father, we repent of our arrogance and we repent of our sins and we ask for your forgiveness upon our country, upon our land, upon our people. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So many are asking right now if this COVID-19 is the wrath of God. Well, I think that's a very interesting question. And while I don't think that this coronavirus per se is a wrath of God upon people, I do think that the Lord is doing what many of us have done with our children. And that's to say, if you want to do things your own way, then I'll back off. I'll let you handle things on your own if that's what you want. I have young children, and I've done that to them many times. I'm willing and able to help them, but they don't want the help. They want to figure it out on their own. And I think that is, in many respects, what we're seeing right now. I think that we would be very wise, not only as a country, but as families, to spend some time repenting before the Lord and to call on the name of the Lord on behalf of our country, on behalf of our churches, and to once again turn our eyes upon the Lord. In the Old Testament, you have what Bible scholars call the active wrath of God. That's where you can see the active wrath of God and as many, many examples throughout the Old Testament. But in this new covenant that you and I live in this new testament, this new covenant of grace, we don't often see the active wrath of God like we did in the Old Covenant. What we see today, I think in what we're seeing now, is God's passive wrath. And God's passive wrath is God saying, well, I would have intervened, but people aren't praying. I would have stepped in, but no one's paying attention to me or my law. And I don't think you would disagree with this, that the world, and especially our culture in America, we have snubbed our nose at God for far too long. We have kicked him out of all aspects of our society for far too long. And now I think the Lord is showing us how desperately we need him. And how, as of right now, there is no cure, there is no vaccine, there is no other option but to call on the name of the Lord. So I invite you to not pray for your country just on Sunday. I invite you to pray every day, and let us, the people of God, the people who know the grace of God and we know the mercy of God, for we have experienced it in our own lives, let us lead the way in repentance. Let us lead the way in calling on the name of the Lord and bringing our people back to a place where we're looking to the Lord. Today, if you're listening to this and you're born again and you are part of the church of Jesus Christ, well, I want to say to you especially, we should lead the way in not being fearful. The church is built for this. It's times like this that the church is the greatest. It's time like this that our light shines the brightest. So for those of you who know the Lord and you know prayer and you know how to pray and you know how to call on God's name, listen, let's lead the way. Let our churches lead the way. As my wife, Sadie, said earlier, we're not a building. So don't think that because we're not gathering right now in a building that the church is ineffective. No, you are the church. I am the church. The church is not a building. Right now, as I speak, I'm speaking to an empty building. But this building is not where God stays. He dwells within our hearts. He lives within our lives. And so you and I have an opportunity of all opportunities. You and I have a chance because there isn't any of us who've ever seen a pandemic in our lifetime. And you and I have the opportunity to serve the Lord in a very unique way. Check on your neighbors. Check on the elderly. Make sure that they have what they need. Volunteer to go to the grocery store for someone in your life who perhaps has a compromised immune system or compromised lungs. Offer to do things for them. Do it in the name of the Lord. Offer to pray for people. You know, people on social media or people in your neighborhood or coworkers who are just panicking right now, who are fearful right now. Memorize scripture that you can share with people who are gripped by fear and say, listen, no, the Lord is able to give his peace to us. You and I should live differently than how the world is living right now. You and I should have a different posture about us. We should have a different mindset about us because we trust in the sovereign hand of God. Well, today I want to invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 5. For those of you who follow our ministry, you know that we are in a wonderful series right now called Triumph. And what a timely series this is for what we're seeing happening in the world. It stuns me that from the week of March 8th to the Sunday of March 15th, our world changed dramatically. And we're continuing to see other changes, even leading in to this March 22nd. And things are moving so fast, and there are calamities that are happening all over the globe, not just in our country, but all over the world. And what a unique time this is for Christians to live victoriously. For Christians to rise above the noise. For Christians to rise above the panic. For Christians to rise above the fear and say, no, 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 no. We don't live this way because we know who is in control. We understand that Satan is the god of this world. I think that means that he has tremendous influence upon society. He has tremendous influence upon culture. But while Satan may be the god of this world, let me tell you who is in absolute sovereign control of absolute everything, and that's God Almighty. The Bible says in the Psalms that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. All things are under the sovereign control of God. And that is 100% the reason why you and I don't panic. That's why we're not fearful, because we know who is ultimately in control. We know what we ultimately ought to do. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I think our country is coming into a season of great humbling. Yet God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then God says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. This needs to be the message of Christians. This needs to be our anthem in this time of fear, in this time of panic. Our anthem needs to be that God calls us to live victorious lives. And how do we do that? By living repentant lives, by living lives that are sensitive to the will of God and the word of God. And as we do this, then Christian, you rise above it. You rise above all the fear and all the panic and all the noise. So we've been in this series called Triumph. In week one, we were in Joshua 1, and we talked about losing ground already won. We talked about how Israel for 40 years forfeited land that God had already promised them. And for 40 years, they gave up. They forfeited the very promises of God. And then in week two, we looked at a lady named Rahab. We talked about household salvation. We called that message the scarlet thread out of Joshua chapter 2. We saw how Rahab in the Bible was a prostitute and how her story is not just in Joshua 2, not just in Joshua 6, but it's in 2 Peter, it's in Hebrews 11, in the Great Hall of Faith, and it's in Matthew chapter 1, in the tremendous lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Rahab, the prostitute, is in the very family tree of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And you know what that tells me, my friends? Is that if Jesus Christ is not embarrassed to have a prostitute in his family, then you know what? He's not embarrassed to have me. He's not embarrassed to have you. He's not embarrassed by the sins of our past. Jesus wants us in his family. I think that's tremendous. And then last week, we were in Joshua 3 and 4, and we entitled that Crossing Jordan. We talked about how the Jordan represented coming into your promise, coming into your inheritance. We talked about how even though God had promised all of the land, and that included all of their enemies, even though God had made such tremendous promises to Israel, Israel still had to fight. They still had to go to battle. They still had to go to war. The same is true in our lives. Even though God has promised us the victory, even though God has promised the outcome is going to be victorious for believers, you and I still have to go to war. We still have to put on the armor of God, and you and I still have to fight. We still have to stand. We still have to do spiritual warfare. But see, the difference is we don't fight for victory. As Christians, we fight because of victory. We don't fight to get victory. We fight out of victory. And see, our motivation is different. We know that God will not fail in anything that he has promised. And so we fight out of that. Well, we've worked our way through Joshua 1, 2, 3, and 4. Today we come to Joshua chapter 5. Today we're going to come to a very special place called Gilgal. We're going to be at Gilgal before next week when we go to Jericho, where the walls are going to come down. But there are lessons to be learned in Gilgal, and that's what I want to talk to you for a moment about. I want to entitle today, Alone with God. I want to talk about what happened to Joshua when he got alone with God. But before we get there, let's start in the first of chapter 5. If you are new to our ministry, you may not know that I'm actually a blind pastor. I lost sight about a year and a half ago in both eyes. And so if you watch us weekly, you'll notice I don't have a Bible on my podium. It's because I'm unable to see a Bible or a computer or a screen. I can't see anything. And so all of the scripture I go through, I try to memorize. So if I miss something today, I ask for your forgiveness. So better yet, I ask, will you follow along with us so you don't miss anything? And I'm just going to kind of walk us through some of chapter 5. And we're going to finish at the end by talking about Joshua being alone with God. But there's something very special that I want us to see before we get there. In the first part of chapter 5, we see that Israel crosses over Jordan just fine. If you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and listen. But in case you don't have opportunity, let me just remind you of what an incredible conquest this was of what the Lord did. When the Jordan had overflowed its banks, as it did here at the time of harvest, the Jordan River at this point was up to 1 mile wide. Now, can you imagine trying to cross a river that is a mile wide? Not only with your little ones, if you had small children at the time, but, you know, each family had their livestock with them. They had their cattle with them. They had their tents, and they had all their belongings. And scholars tell us that at this point in Israel's history, they were up to at least 1 million people, if not 2 million people. So let's just split the difference and say, could you imagine crossing a river a mile wide with 1.5 million people trying to cross? It would have been impossible. We pointed out last week, and we'll point it out again in today's text, they were within eyeshot of Jericho itself. When they cross over the Jordan, they're now in the plains of Jericho. Had they tried to cross slowly, they would have been sitting ducks for the people of Jericho. For everyone was watching them to see what the Lord was going to do. And what did God do? Well, God did part the waters. Just as God did for their fathers and their mothers at the Red Sea, God is going to do for this new generation here at the Jordan River. And with what the Bible tells us, where the waters parted, this water parted a mile wide, and listen, it parted 20 miles long, so that between 1 to 2 million of God's people could pass through on dry ground. Well, when we come to chapter 5, we see that they made it. The whole nation made it just fine over Jordan. And now they're on this side of Canaan. Now they're in this new place, this new place where they're going to trust the Lord. And notice what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says that when all of the kings of the east and all the kings of the Amorites, the kings of the Canaanites, when they all heard how God had dried up the waters for the Israelites, the Bible says their hearts melted and that they had no spirit within them because of the people of Israel. You know, I can't listen to this scripture and not realize that when it comes to my life and when it comes to your life, not only is a watching world looking at your life, not only is a lost world watching your life, but listen, this is very important to know. Many of you need to know this. The enemy sees your life. Perhaps some of you have went through a season before where you began to get very serious with God. You got very serious about your faith and you began to grow spiritually like never before. But then all of a sudden came such an attack from the enemy and you thought to yourself, where in the world did this come from? Friends, it's because the enemy sees your life. Some of you right now, your marriage is on the brinks. Right now, your marriage is about to collapse and your family is about to tear.